Now, we have been in the series that I have been doing on the place of the believer in the world. We used as our pivotal text for the first session the Philippians scripture, which states that our citizenship is in heaven. And the implications of that, of course, is that we are strangers on earth, and that this is not where we seek to establish our home. We are like those patriarchs of old who abandoned where they had come from to look for a city. And that's our position in the world. Now, last week, we used as our pivotal text the statement of the Lord Jesus, who said that when he was asked by Pilate if he was a king, and he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And the implications of that is that if his kingdom is not of this world, then there is no cause for his disciples, his followers, to try to assert a place in the world. And today, we are going to use as our pivotal text 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 13 and 14. "I charge you," says the apostle to Timothy, a professed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a confessed follower, "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." He will appear on earth. He will make things right when he appears. The earth is going to be what it ought to be when he appears, but it will not before then, no matter what we do. It's almost a kind of comical thing that there is a preacher who is much on the airwaves who makes his central ministry that of trying to urge Christians to do something to get Israel in position so that the Lord Jesus can come. Utter folly. God has his program, and he orchestrates that program. He doesn't need us to do anything to set the stage for him to come. He has it all planned. Our job is simply to do what he gave us to do here. So, Paul calls Timothy's attention to the testimony of the Lord Jesus before Pontius Pilate. Now that is was our pivotal text for last week, and I'll read it so that we can be reminded of what Paul was telling Timothy about. In John's Gospel, chapter 18, we'll find it. At the end of verse 33, Pilate asks Jesus, as he stands before the bar, he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And we get the answer in verse 36. The Lord Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting, but my servants would be fighting that I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. That's the confession that Jesus made before Pontius Pilate. And the Lord is also heard saying in John's Gospel, in the same John's Gospel, chapter 12, in verse 26, he says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servants be also." Where I am, there will my servant be also. So if Jesus is saying, I have no claim to anything in this world, then that should be the position of his servant. They make no claim to anything in this world. Do I know that many of us have titles to houses? That's not what we're talking about. I know that we have titles to lots of other things under the law, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the rights that people sometimes insist that they have to sort of make things the way they want them on the in the world, in the country. God's program at the present time is not to make the world a better place. I know we want it to be. Especially when we forget that our citizenship is in heaven. And we want really to make a nice cozy home for ourselves on earth. Just as the Jews wanted, not, I should say, primarily, the privileged class among the Jews, where didn't want Jesus because he was a threat to them and their place. They said, we've got to rein this fellow in, because if we don't, the Romans are going to come and take our place and our nation. They take the nation, they have no more place. So they really weren't that concerned about the nation. That was secondary. It is their place first. And Christians can become, get drawn into that that mentality where they begin to assert rights on earth and spend the energy that is intended to be spent preaching the gospel, telling people about the love of God, instead waging campaigns, political campaigns, social activism. We betray the one who has bought us when we do that. And we do not act in the tradition of the patriarchs who are brought to our attention, those who were in a foreign country, and although they had possessions in that foreign country, lots of possessions, lots more than most of us have, they weren't that interested in preserving that. They were more interested in seeking the city that foundations, the scripture says, whose builder and maker was God. So when Christians are really have their heart, really have their hearts set on that city, they don't spend their energies trying to make this world a utopia. It never will become that. They spend their energies telling men that there's a savior who wants to deliver them out of the world. Not to make a better place for them in the world, but to deliver them out of the world. That's the message. The world is condemned already. There is no hope for the world. And when Christians spend their energies trying to make the world a more desirable place to live, it shows that they don't know God's program. And it's in the Word. There's a day when the world is going to be made right. Yes, that's when the Lord Jesus reigns. He is going to reign over the earth, literally. And we are told that during his reign, there's going to be no such thing as crime. You're going to be perfectly safe. You won't have to worry about somebody pushing you off the platform in the subway. You won't have to be worried about someone pushing you somewhere to rob you. No. In that society, we're told that every man will sit under his own vine and fig tree. There's going to be independence, individual independence, so that you aren't going to have people grabbing and grasping for things. Everyone will be satisfied. We're told that the sower is going to overtake the reaper. So before they're able to reap everything, it's time to sow again. That's utopia on earth. But God's program at the present time is to bring utopia to the hearts of people, peace to the hearts of the people who trust him. That's what he wants you and me to enjoy in the midst of the chaos that is in this world. In the midst of all of the rancor that is abroad in the world, everywhere you turn, there are people demonstrating and killing. There are crimes being perpetrated. There are atrocities of every sort being perpetrated in the world today. You aren't going to fix that. Grieves your heart when you see it. Children who have been mistreated, if not shot to death, being mistreated in other ways. That's going to prevail as long as the rule of Satan, as long as the world remains in the lap of the wicked one. We are told that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that the whole world is in the lap of the wicked one, is under the control of the wicked one, Satan. Satan controls this world. This is not Jesus' world. This is Satan's world. When Satan took Jesus up into the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world, he says, now, aren't they beautiful? Are they grand? Aren't they really desirable? If you fall down and worship me, I'll give them all to you. He said, they're mine. And Jesus didn't contest that. Jesus never denied that they were Satan's. Yes, they're Satan's. God did not give it to him. God gave the dominion to Adam. Adam lost it to Satan, and Satan has ruled ever since, and he will rule until this second Adam, the last Adam, comes. The Lord Jesus, the last Adam, and then he is going to restore everything and the utopia that was begun in Eden will be renewed. I am going through much of this, which I had not intended to go through, because I hope that it will help us to see our place in the world. You aren't losing anything not to have a lot of clout in Washington. We've got clout in heaven. That's where the ultimate power is. So those who trust the Lord Jesus, those who are looking for Him, those who spend their energies serving Him also appeal to Him. And He is the one who gives, who exercises control ultimately. We don't have to worry about it. Your power in Washington will be diluted, or it will be betrayed, because those that you put there to serve you end up taking the vote that belongs to you and giving it to some special interest. Now, am I getting involved in that? It's a futile thing. It's a futile thing. I'm not interested in that. There's no way to fix that. It will always be that way. And believers are spinning their wheels when they give themselves to political activism. We've got a higher calling than that. We've got a far higher calling than that. I charge you, says the apostle to his protege, Timothy, I charge you, the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Now, of course, earlier in the chapter, just a few verses above, Paul said that Timothy made a good confession. And the same confession that you and I make. We make a confession that we are seeking a city, that our citizenship is not in heaven, is not on earth, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for a Savior. When Christians allow themselves to be dragged into, or sometimes they actually themselves initiate the rancor, in which they protest belligerently, militantly, viciously, unbecomingly, because they bring a reproach on the name of the Lord Jesus by the way they act toward the people that they have been sent to deliver the good news to. We have been sent to deliver the good news to sinners. It doesn't become us then to get on national television, and this happens all the time, people who claim to be Christian, and denigrate the sinner because he's sinner, because he's sinning. It means that such a person doesn't even understand what the facts are. in the scriptures, we are told that sinners sin. And that's not the thing that God is trying to get us to do. God didn't send us to try to get sinners to stop sinning. We can't do it. He sent us to deliver the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that those who receive the good news, those who believe, are changed from within. And then you don't need a policeman anymore for them. You don't even need laws for them. Because they want to do what pleases the Lord. And there's no higher citizenry, no higher quality citizenry than those who want to please the Lord. That's what we are supposed to be in the world. So, our commission is not to make the world morally right, whether through legislation or by social activism. God's program has nothing to do with saving the world. It is condemned. He's saving individuals out of the world. And so what we read in his prayer at the end of his work on earth, John 17. And I'm going to read a few verses from John 17. John 17, verse 6 says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. That's what follows, you see. So, God's not saving the world. He is saving people out of the world. And when you come to Jesus, you are come out of the world. And what do? You keep the word of God. That's far higher than any law will ever require you of you. Any law of man will ever require you. Why? We look for a Savior. Who is He? The Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is heaven, is in heaven, from which we look for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're looking for a Savior from heaven, or are you looking for a Savior from Washington? Let's not get sucked into that mentality that drags us down. He doesn't lift us up. In verse 9 of the chapter, the Lord Jesus says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. The New International says they're not of the world any more than I am of the world. Where I am, there will my servant be also. And if we're going to be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus, we want to follow him where he is. Verse 14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. That's normal. Don't get upset because you're hated by the world. Why should you be upset? You're loved by the Savior. You don't have to be upset. Just be faithful to him. And as the scripture says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God can take care of your enemies. We don't have to fight against them. God's got it under control. And in verse 16, He says again, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see what he's doing? He is making a parallel between the position that he holds and the position that is appropriate for his servants to hold. Clear? Why should we allow ourselves to become riled up with whatever is going on in the world? We aren't going to fix it. It grieves us all when we see such atrocities and such terrible events as the children who were just massacred recently. I wish that were the only massacre that day on earth. Sad to say, that is something that is going on continuously over the world. All over the world. And so it will be as long as the world remains in the control of the wicked one. Now God intervenes and delivers. And if you're looking for security for yourself, physical security or other, don't think you're going to find it behind locked doors. Don't think you're going to find it with all of the fancy technology that we have to warn you and to ward off evil, and certainly not from having guns. No. My security is in Christ. And God alone can control everything, and he does for his own. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, the Apostle John reminds his readers, those believers in that first century, he says, as he is, the latter part of verse 17, as he is, that is the Lord Jesus, so also are we in this world. How is he in this world? How was he in this world? Hated, rejected, scorned, disowned, put to death, done away with. Of no account. That's the position of believers in the world. And, but that's not a position that is demeaning to the believer if the believer has the right values. If my values are just the values of the world, then it's demeaning. But if the values are the values of heaven, I can look at them, smile, and keep moving because I know the end. The end is proclaimed in Revelation 11, where we are told the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God, our Lord and of his Christ, our Lord God and of his Christ. That will ultimately be the case. Yeah. When after God has judged the world, brought it into subjection, the Lord Jesus, during that terrible tribulation period, he says, then at the end, you have the declaration. It's happened. It's a glorious kingdom now. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Satan will have been dealt with. That's our hope. Please forgive me for stepping over the time. Let's close. Our God and Father, we pray that you will use your word to instruct your people, those who have life from God. May we be deeply affected by it, that it will make a change in the way we live, in the values we espouse, in the hope that we treasure. Amen.